Ooh, aren't we blessed that we've got these two beautiful girls and their voices and our Becky who leads them. Thank you, God. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. And you can join with me, read along with me, on page 719 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The New Testament lesson. Help me here. The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, and this is on page 176 in the New Testament section of your Bible. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, I've gone too far. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, and actually, that's okay. Because verse 21, for since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also came through a human being. And I'll follow through with that. So it's good that you did say that. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Resurrection power. Yes, God is an awesome God. We know in Genesis he speaks into the void, which means there is nothing there. He just speaks. And out of nothing creates everything. Did it take 6 days or 7 days for it all to play out? I focus on the first part. There was nothing. And he speaks. And everything is created. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't worry about that one. Now, I know some people will worry about that, but the Word of God does not return void. He is an awesome God. Now, there are a few things that we need to focus on and accept. And as I tell Elijah and Alex as we get ready for confirmation class, you know, they're 12 and 16. How much do you think they know about life? They got it all figured out, right? I know Sydney and Sierra do, but they're 16, okay? So much for my intellect. But the point is, there are some salient pieces that we've got to understand. And most of them we accept on faith, because are we able to understand how God could speak and everything be created? That's a leap of faith. You know, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, what does it say? Faith is the hope for things not yet made evident or not yet seen. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, you know, if people can have a lot of faith in things, you know, a nice sturdy pew, nice comfortable cushion. You can come in here and you can sit down and you can worship and you can pray, you can fellowship, and you can be comfortable. Even if you have to sit next to Bob. I love Bob.
I love you too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But here's the piece. What Paul is doing is he's writing to this church at Corinth. Now, Paul has an intimate relationship with the people of Corinth because he founded that church. He has stayed connected to the Corinthians. We have three letters. We know that there are three letters. We have two of them that we see, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's probably a third. There might be more. But in this letter, he addresses a number of things. Now, we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we're talking about the spiritual gifts. We had 13. We're talking about love, the greater of things. And in 14, he's talking about another issue. But here, it's one of those key and instrumental theological points for us to understand as Christians. Because when we say, as Paul did, that I preach Christ and Him crucified. Now, what do you find in most Christian churches? You either have a cross. In the Catholic Church, you have a crucifix. But you still have the cross. Well, what is that emblematic of? The power of Rome? A death or a sacrifice? And the fullness of the sacrifice is to realize, just as we celebrated at Christmas, that that baby was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary received it, and Joseph accepted it. And Jesus came. He came for a purpose. He came because none of us, no matter how good we are, no matter how much money we make, no matter how much money we donate, we can never pay enough to repay the wages of sin, which is death. Now, we're going to suffer an earthly death. Okay? That's inescapable. But the blessing we have is it doesn't end there. Just as we recognize and accept that Christ on the cross, for us Protestants, ours is an empty cross. Why is that? He's no longer there. That's an emblem for us of His sacrifice for us, the payment for our sin, but also the fact that He's not there, He's there, and He's going to soon be here again. That's our promise. That's our faith. But in order to believe in that, we have to believe in the resurrection. Not only was Jesus Christ crucified, hundreds of people witnessed it. Not only was He dead, but He was buried. Joseph of Arimathea and friends wrapped His body and stuck it in a tomb. But we know 3 days later, Mary and Martha run to that same tomb, and he is not there. Now, there was a story I read in a news report or something that, you know, there's this thing about the early Christian church that it was all about men. You know, that women weren't strong characters in this. Excuse me? Without Priscilla, without Mary and Martha, you know, where would we be? But here's the point to that. Some people would say without Mary and Martha, you wouldn't have had the notice that Jesus had been resurrected or was no longer in that tomb or the tomb was empty. Well, guess what? Jesus was going to show up in that upper room even if Mary and Martha hadn't gone to the tomb. He was going to show up in that upper room and he was going to show them that his body had the marks, the physical marks of the nail and the spear, and that they could touch him and see him even though he had appeared through the walls of a room that had been locked up. But he had a resurrection. Now they believed that. Now 500 plus people saw him alive again at Pentecost. And thousands more saw him and heard from him. So they had faith, even if they hadn't seen it. They'd heard the personal account from people they believed. So they had a faith in that. Well, here's the key reason that Paul is saying, now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Here's the key point, because they were saying, well, we believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection, but we're not really certain that we're going to be resurrected. Hello? You're trying to buy into something that's less than what Christ Jesus did. If Jesus came to save you, you think he paid that price on the cross just so he could wipe out your sin and you're going to evaporate into nothing? No, he came to save us. Now, to be saved, we're totally free. We're not bound by death, the wages of sin. We have, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, do you know how it works? No, but I believe it. Do we know how in the world? Wasn't in the world. The world wasn't even created yet. Out of the void, God speaks into the void and creates something. Do you know how that works? No, but I can take a huge leap of faith and you know what? I know who does. And I believe in him. Paul is talking and addressing a lack of faith in his church at Corinth. They're willing to accept that Christ Jesus was resurrected somehow. But they're not accepting their own resurrection through their faith. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. If you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, got it, no problem, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's your salvation. So the key part of our salvation is recognizing that Christ paid it all, that he died, but that God raised him up again. And he ascended into heaven. And one day, 1 Thessalonians, he's going to come back down. Trumpet sounds, clouds part, Jesus ascends, graves give up the dead, and we all rise to meet him together. Well, the people in the church of Corinth, among other challenges they had, were arguing over whether or not the resurrection was as good through Christ as it would be for them. And it's accepting Christianity at something less than Christianity. It almost lessens and diminishes the proclamation that Jesus has died. He died for a purpose. He's coming back. The purpose that he died was to save you. And he's not going to leave you in an empty shell that decays over time. Because you and I are going to have resurrection bodies. Now, do I know what that looks like? Do I know what the properties of that are? I don't. I have evidence of it by seeing what Jesus did. He had a physical body. He could actually consume fish, drink water. People could see him. People could touch him. He had a physical resurrection body. But, you know, how did he get into that room? The doors were barred and locked. How did he just appear? How did he just disappear? One day we'll be like him. We'll have resurrection bodies like him. We accept that on faith. And if we don't accept that on faith, then our faith is something less than the faith it should be. Our image of God is something less than what we truly need to be out of faith accepting. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith had been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified that Christ was raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. Paul inextricably links Christ's resurrection and his promise to us for resurrection bodies. You either believe it all, or if you believe something less than that, it is less than that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, I am half the truth, kind of the way, and part of the life. The scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we believe in him. We believe in everything that he says. Now, granted, there are some translations that people don't necessarily like or necessarily agree with. That doesn't lessen the fact that even if we don't understand it, we can believe it. Anybody in here know quantum physics? Good. Because neither do I. But you know, some people do believe in quantum physics. They actually work things out through quantum physics. Astrophysicists, okay. There are things that you know about and you believe. I haven't got a clue. But I can still believe that they exist. Why is it if I can't touch it, feel it, that it doesn't exist? Excuse me. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Verse 17. Okay? So if you don't believe that he's raised, you're still stuck in your sins. If you're stuck in your sins, where are you going to be? Dead. Buried. And that's all that's left. If Christ has been raised, and you believe in him, that is just a way station on the rest of your life. Where do you want to spend your life? There? Do you want to spend your eternity there? Or your eternity there? It's not my power. It's not my word that you have to trust or have faith in. It's the resurrection power, and it's the word of God. And if the word of God, awesome as he is, can create everything out of nothing, nothing is impossible for God. Shalom. Which comes to point, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Lucy. 21. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. So you could have read 21 and it would have been perfect. I know I can't stop. Shalom.